This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Metabolism and benefits of 30 days of fasting in Ramadan.
Candace, she went to go see Andrew Tate.
And this is one of the reasons why I reverted to Islam, because I feel like the Islamic culture is the strongest.
Jesus fasted like Muslims do for Ramadan.
Jesus is not the real name. That's a fabricated name.
You know his name's not Jesus, right?
But that beating every day in our heads that every Muslim was a terrorist was the idea that you got?
I make jokes about it, but like, you don't.
And he's new, obviously, to Islam.
I'm new to the religion. I'm only a year in and I'm studying as best I can.
Christianity is an invitation from God.
Islam, we would say, is an invitation to God.
No, so Muslims are also waiting for the second coming of Jesus.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you not find that appealing?
Very.
So that itself, Jesus will say, you know what, I can connect with the mosque and with the Muslims.
We know there are many benefits to the use of black seed, according to the authentic statements of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. That's why I use the black seed by Tasneem, and 50% of the profits from your order will go towards establishing the Deen Center, the Masjid and Mega Dawah Center. Use promo code The Deen Show for 15% off. Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. How you guys doing? Welcome to The Deen Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. We're going to be talking about what I posted on the X earlier in the week. Jesus fasted like Muslims do for Ramadan. As you know, we're in Ramadan. Then I said Jesus was a Muslim. So we had a lot of our Christian friends and some not so friendly people out there. Some low blows under the belt. Some sincerely want to know how we're making this connection, so we're going to be talking about that. We'll also touch upon some of the medical benefits of fasting. We'll also touch upon Jesus' name. Is that really his name? Amongst other things, with my next guest. Some call him a Bible scholar. He's got a PhD in comparative religion, Dr. Sabil Ahmed.
Let me introduce you to my faith. We have one God, his name's Allah, Allah. And his final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Eddie.
Wa alaikum
assalam.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you too.
I like when I have you in the studio. These connections, some people don't put them together. You are able to put them together because you got a PhD in this area in comparative religion. So tell me, just from this point here, like we connected Ramadan to Jesus, mm-hmm. How about his greeting that we just did? Can we connect that to Jesus? Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Someone be like, people start going crazy again. Like,
yes. Since you said, you know, Jesus was a Muslim and he practiced Ramadan, not only that, when he used to meet his disciples, his greeting was peace be upon you. And people may be thinking, really, where is that in the Bible? It is there in the Bible. In the New Testament, in the fourth gospel, the gospel of John, chapter 20, verse number 19 and verse number 21. So it says in the Bible, brother Eddie, when Jesus went to the upper chamber, he saw the disciples up there. And the very first thing he said to them was, peace be upon you, in Hebrew language, obviously.
He didn't say, hey, what's up, y'all?
See, peace, that's the best greeting anyone can ever give to any
person. That's our greeting.
That's our greeting, right? When two Muslims, when we meet each other, like when I first came to you today, what did I say? Hey, Eddie, man, how are you, right? Uh-huh. I say, Assalamu alaikum, brother Eddie and Hamza, how are you guys doing? Yes.
I don't know why, for some people it's very sensitive. It's different if we were like, you have certain people who are actually the Antichrist, you know, they deny Christ, they talk about disparaging things against his character, his mother.
And you'll hear Zionist Christians all the time, they're the apple of God's eye, apple of God's eye, apple of God's eye. Listen to this. This is from the Talmud, and this is where Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is being boiled in hot excrement as a punishment for mocking the words of the rabbis.
Who's named after, the whole chapter is named after him. So, but when we say Jesus, and I've asked my Christian guests that I've had on the show, I said, you get offended when we say Jesus, peace be upon him. They start smiling and laughing, right? So we're going to try to make some connections here, but it's not to offend or disrespect Jesus in any way or our Christian friends, neighbors, and colleagues. Do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, of course. When we are speaking now today about the Bible, about Jesus, peace be upon him, about Moses and Abraham and all the prophets, we are doing to educate our fellow Americans and people of humanity. We cannot ever disrespect Jesus because I would not be a Muslim if I do that. So we believe in him, we respect him, we honor him, and we take him to be as one of the mightiest prophets that God has appointed to bring humanity to the worship of one God.
I want to get your reaction to this because we're using his name, but if you really dig a little bit, that's not even his name, Jesus. Is that right?
Yeah. So in Arabic, so there's a, you know, Englishized version of that, I would say. So the Arabic name that we name in the Quran, or Allah's name, is the name Isa.
Mm-hmm. Let me get your reaction to this.
Jesus is not the real name. That's a fabricated name.
You know his name's not Jesus, right? If you go back to where Jesus was walking the earth and you walked around and said, where's Jesus? Nobody would know what you're talking about.
Now, this is the sickness the Christian has. He wants to translate names of people.
Most Christians don't even know that Jesus spoke Aramaic. Now, the language is a Semitic language. The Semitic languages are Hebrew, Arabic, and Aramaic.
So Jesus is an English translation of a Latin translation, of a Greek translation, of a Hebrew translation, of an Aramaic name.
You know, Jesus' name was not Jesus. I've been talking the whole night. I keep on saying Jesus, Jesus, but that was not his name. When he was born, his mother named him Esau. In Arabic, Isa. Hebrew, Esau. Classical Hebrew, Yeheshua. Then where does Jesus come from?
Muslims are not claiming that Jesus is Zeus or anything like that. What we are pointing out is the amount of confusion that exists over this matter. All these theories and confusion over a simple question stems from the fact that the Bible is not preserved at all, and there are many instances in history where it is evidential to have been tampered with. If the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, walked on earth today, we would be calling him with his exact name as it was 1,400 years ago.
What's your reaction to that?
You know, many of the Christians, they would not never know that Jesus was not his real name. You know, there's so many translations that happened, the Hebrew to Greek to, to the Aramaic and then to English. And then we think, you know, that is the real name. But that person in the video is 100% right. If you meet Jesus, if you call him Jesus, he would say, who are you calling? That's not me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as simple as that, yeah.
But how would you go ahead and explain when we say that in my statement that Jesus, it's a two-part statement, that Jesus, and over here I have Jesus is mentioned 25 times in the Quran, is that right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yep, 25 times.
And then we already talked about his blessed mother. There's a whole chapter in the Quran named after her. The question is, why would Prophet Muhammad, and if Muslims hate Jews also, because that's the temple now, that's the propaganda that the hate machine, Zionists are trying to push, why would he praise not his mother, but praise Jesus, ethnically he's Jewish, and ethnically his mother's Jewish. And we're not talking about their religion. Mm-hmm. They were Muslims, and we'll define that. Why would he do that?
He did that because Quran is not coming from the mind of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It is coming from God, Allah, and whatever Allah is saying, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he is sharing that with people. Really important, the word Jesus occurs 25 times in the Quran. The word Abraham occurs 69 times in the Quran. But the most mentioned prophet is Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. He's mentioned 136 times in the Quran. Mm-hmm. But the word Muhammad, peace be upon him, he's only mentioned 4 times by the name Muhammad, peace be upon him, and 1 time by the name Ahmad.
Go ahead. Yes.
So again, the important point that I usually share with my brothers and sisters of humanity is that if the prophet was the one author of the Quran, he would have placed his name more than any other person.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Yes. Not only that, Mary, mother of Jesus, peace be upon her, is the only lady mentioned by name in the whole Quran. Do you know how many times?
How many?
About 34 times.
34 times Mary is mentioned.
She's mentioned 34 times. and not the mother of Muhammad, peace be upon him, not his wife, not his daughter, not his sister, not any believing women of that time, but a quote-unquote Jewish lady who came 600 years before him. The Prophet never saw her, never met her, right? No interaction with her. She is the one praised in the Quran 34 times. Not only that, chapter number 19 is named as chapter of Mary. Mm-hmm. Not only that, in chapter number 3 of the Quran, verse number 42, an angel comes to Mary, and the angel is saying, you know, oh Mary, God has chosen you, God has purified you, and God has chosen you above all the women. That distinction is not given to the mother of Muhammad, peace be upon him, nor his wife or his daughter. So again, an important point for my Christian brothers and sisters and also Jews and other people is that if the Quran was coming from the mind of the Prophet, peace be upon him, he would have praised himself more than anyone else. His name would have been the most than any other prophet. His mother would have been praised the most. But instead of that, a Jewish lady, ethnically Jewish, right? By faith, obviously, she is Muslim. She is the one mentioned most in the Quran, or the only lady. So that's an indication Quran is not coming from the mind of Muhammad, peace be upon him. It is coming from the Creator, and the Prophet is only sharing what he was receiving.
So before we get into Jesus fasted like Muslims do for Ramadan, Jesus was a Muslim, given the evidences and proof, how we can make that statement. You agree with that statement?
Yes, that the statement that you have on Facebook or Meta is 100% right. Jesus fasted.
Yeah, Elon
or X too.
Okay, yeah, this one's X, yeah. We had it on Facebook also. Before we get to that, I want to get you, because you got so many people out there who are still programmed like this next person. This is a conservative Christian, and for a long time she was actually bringing on, because of the company or the group of people she was involved with, but we see a shift now that's happening, and I want to commend her. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of Candace Owens.
Yeah, of course.
So Candace Owens, we commend you. She came out recently. She was on this George podcast, and I want to get your reaction to some of the things that she had to say, and hopefully this will kind of diffuse some of the haters who also, because of mentioned the programming out there, they kind of fell in the bandwagon of hate from the hate industry.
As a bank, really, for these wars, is because Americans don't know anything. We know after 9/11, I think about it now, the propaganda to make me afraid of Muslims. I can't even imagine being a Muslim growing up after 9/11 in America, because I know how I felt about them. And I was young, I was 11 years old, but that beating every day in our heads that every Muslim was a terrorist was the idea that you got.
I make jokes about it, but like, you don't understand. Like, I had to shave my face to go to airports. My mom would make me shave my face.
Yeah.
Like, at school, like, I was so young. This is actually funny. I had a mustache in like the fourth grade, and my mom made me nair it, because she was like, you got it, like, because it was really, really bad. Because whatever you're like, the household would say, the kids have no filter. Mm-hmm. So they would just say whatever they wanted to me. But at a young age, I realized that I myself as a Middle Eastern was racist too. I was like, oh, it's not us, it's them. Mm-hmm. And so I would point my finger out of fear and be like, no, they did it. But then I went to, what country did I just go to? Sorry.
Canada?
I went to Saudi Arabia. And I don't think I've ever been to a country that was more hospitable to me. Mm. The love that I got, the respect that I got, I literally sat back and I hung myself out to dry on a podcast. I go, wow, I was brainwashed. I was so scared. I didn't bring her.
Yeah, same. And so first I want to say, just like, to all Muslims growing up during my time in America, I am sorry on behalf of America
for
the way that you were treated. It is so unacceptable. When I go back and I re-examine that propaganda, that brainwashing that took place in the classroom to make me scared of something, I didn't even know what a Muslim was. I remember going to the airport and someone was a Hindu and I was scared of them. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to take this off of his head. Blah, blah. I thought that was a Muslim, right? Mm-hmm. There was no education about anything. And the reason for that, you know, he who controls the textbooks controls the entire country, in my view, right? It was because everything that we did responding to 9/11 should be assessed as whether or not they were crimes against humanity. We bombed a million Iraqi civilians. We killed a million Iraqis. What were we doing in Iraq? The Saudis were on the plane.
That, yeah.
They just said there's weapons of mass destruction, and then they never found them. But they, in the process, they killed a million Iraqi civilians, right? And it made us think it's okay to just keep bombing Muslims. That was the purpose, to me, of that educational propaganda and brainwash.
I want to commend Candace Owens. I mean, really, I'd love to have you on the show, Candace. We can talk more about this. What is your reaction?
You know, I really like her honesty, her sincerity, and she's open to be educated. And she's not like blindly believing, just like some people are. She's doing the research, and now she's evaluating both sides. And the statement she's making is coming from her sincere research. So I would say that every single American, every single human, we should also do the research and not just be biased and hate and discrimination based upon what we have learned through the media, through the textbooks. You know, I was in her situation when I was in India. I used to have a really negative view about America, Americans, based on the movies I was watching and the media I was seeing up there. But coming over here to the US with my parents when I was young, I was a bit fearful. But when I met my classmates, my neighbors, right, my contacts, I realized that, you know, they're good apples, they're bad apples. We cannot paint the whole faith, the whole race, the whole, you know, followers. So it's important for our non-Muslim friends to meet your Muslim neighbors, to interact with them, go to the mosque, read the Quran, find out what is the truth. And the reality is 100% different than what the media is showing. Mm-hmm. Islam is not a threat. It's a blessing for humanity.
And the host of this program, very interesting gentleman, he likes to talk about God. I love to talk about God. You like to talk about God. I'd like to invite George also to come talk with us. And I think these conversations are important for us to sit together and talk. And we're seeing this now that, like Candace, she went to go see Andrew Tate. She flew down to Romania.
And this is one of the reasons why I reverted to Islam, because I feel like the Islamic culture is the strongest. You feel the culture.
I was wondering, because you were Christian, and, you know, I definitely do not know enough about the Islamic faith to sit here and debate you on it. Yeah. I'm never a person that will debate somebody on something that I'm not an expertise on.
Yeah.
He did also. He went to go see our brother Andrew Tate. They went to go visit him.
Islamic people were like, you're not talking about a prophet like that.
Correct.
So I find that very beautiful. And I understand that they hold their values.
But let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you not find that appealing?
Very.
And he also confidently expressed that he's Muslim and he's new, obviously, to Islam.
I am not an Islamic scholar and I don't consider myself knowledgeable on Islam. I'm new to the religion. I'm only a year in and I'm studying as best I can, but there's a lot of people who know more than me.
So now we'd like to invite, I'd like to invite both of them to come sit, talk with us. And I think the next step is to explore really what Muslims are about. What's the main message of Islam? How would you summarize, to get someone more interested to look into Islam, in 1 minute, what would you say? What is Islam?
Islam is knowing the fact that there is a creator, and then knowing that what is the right concept of the creator. Is the creator one, trinity, or multiple, you know, entities? So the creator is one. For the for love of humanity, God did not came down to become a human. He appointed messengers and prophets, you know, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Ishmael, Isaac, Jesus, Muhammad, peace be upon them, gave them the messages. So they shared them with the people, to the humans, that, you know, do not worship humans and idols and the creation, only submit to one God. That was the message God gave to all the prophets, all the messengers. So that submission to one God in Arabic is Islam. So then God sent many books in the past. They have been changed. And the only book now today that we can say God is protecting, this is a guidance for humanity, it has solution for humanity's problems. And lastly, one day we all have to die, and then we'll be facing God on the day of resurrection, day of judgment. There would be only two options, paradise or hellfire. So if we do the, if we have the right belief, worshipping only one God and doing the deeds that God wants us to do, that's the way that God, with his mercy, will induct those people into paradise. So in a nutshell, that's what Islam is. Believing and worshipping God, believing in the messengers and the scriptures, and then the day of judgment. So by living what God has mentioned to us, I hope and pray, by Allah's mercy, we all go into paradise.
I want to go ahead and play another clip with George. I want to get your reaction to the host, who was also agreeing with Candace. And that's deep. I mean, she's basically apologizing on behalf of America. Mm-hmm. And how many Americans were fooled? I'm not going to get into, you know, there was three buildings, building six. That's a whole different topic. But you know, when I say building six, what I'm referring to?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, nothing touched it, fell. We won't get into that. That's a different discussion, but people can do their own research. Anyways, but for her to come out, and how many people jumped on the bandwagon of hate? But if you really, how many people have you spoken to, I mean, over your lifetime, how many Christians and not yet Muslims you've spoken to, and then when they've come into the open houses, and then when you explain what Islam really is, how much resistance versus people saying, wow, that actually makes sense, agreeing with you. And you actually had people like non-Muslims give you checks, remember his story, saying, you know, get this message out there and here's my support. Is that correct?
Many, many times.
Yeah.
In the open houses, people love the message of Islam, and they put their hands in the pocket, took out a bunch of cash and said, you know what, you guys are doing excellent. This message should be out there. Here is the money, go and propagate. Even on the plane, a Jewish lady was sitting next to me.
I remember that, yeah.
When I mentioned, okay, you know what, we are building this wonderful mosque. It is going to help, you know, the neighborhood, better the neighborhood. She put her hand in the purse, took out a checkbook, wrote the check. For you guys, for your mosque, you guys are doing good work.
That was for the Dean Center, right?
For the Dean Center.
When you were coming, we had the event, and you sent me that, and you showed me that check. Even interesting, so some people are seeing behind me the name Jesus here. Look at this. And the Dean Center is the Mega Dawa Center.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'm Dr. Rania Awad, and I'm so excited to be here at the Dean Center, mashallah, which is under renovation. And I can't wait to see what's going to come. Inshallah, there's going to be a Dawa Center, there's a masjid, there's a school, an Islamic school, a gym, and what we hope, inshallah, will also have a mental health part of this center as well, inshallah. So I'm asking you to please make sure that you support this effort. Inshallah, I really hope that it spreads and really the knowledge of Islam and people get to know more about Muslims and Islam through this effort.
But we're trying to come up with a name. You actually advise, because you're part of my shura, is that we should, this was your idea, to call it, what should we call it? So you have the masjid of the Dean Center, mm-hmm. but to call the masjid by what name? You actually...
Jesus Islamic Center.
Uh-huh.
House of Monotheism. So I would say this is really important because for us Muslims, Jesus and Islam, they go together because we say that Jesus was a Muslim because he used to submit to one God. If he submitted to one God, that means his faith was Islam. Mm-hmm. That means submission to God alone, not to worship humans or the creation. And the word house of monotheism, because every prophet was a monotheistic believer. None of them, they were Trinitarians. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, we want to show to our fellow Americans that the Jesus Islamic Center is the place that if Jesus came back, example, right, in his second coming to Florida, where would he go, right?
Yes. So I want people, when they see that, when they see this over here on the screen, and they see Jesus Islamic Center. We love Jesus so much, we're naming the mosque, the masjid, after Jesus. And then people are like, what is that? Jesus Islamic Center. And then, obviously, when people ask, what's the tagline? It's the house of monotheism, because Islam is about pure, absolute monotheism, not worshiping anything in creation but the Creator. So I think this is powerful, and I want to get, since we're on this, I want to see if we can get some people out there, if they can, there's some designers, maybe they can come up with a nice design, send that over to us, mm-hmm. and possibly we can use that. So if any good designers, go ahead, and that's the name, Jesus Islamic Center, House of Monotheism, the tagline. Let's see if you guys can get that over to us, and let's get into this clip here.
There's three types of man in my eyes. Christianity is an invitation from God. Okay. And a man could look at it and go, yes, I want to be a part of this. I absolutely want to be a part of this. And then there's another man that goes, no, absolutely not.
We're saying Islam, submission to the will of God. That's what Islam is. Peace acquired. So you got the root words in there. You got peace, sincerity, obedience, submission. So you put all that together, peace acquired by sincerely submitting, surrendering your will to God's will. That's literally what Islam is. So that we would say is an invitation to God. So now, how do we reconcile? How do we, when George, and hopefully we can get him on the show and we can discuss this. Mm-hmm. He loves talking about God. We do also. But how would you react to that?
Let me see this sign over here. All right. So when I saw George, when he held the sign that says Christianity, right, an invitation to God. Right away, Brother Eddie, the word Christianity is not there in the Bible. So I'm thinking, you know, who made up this name? Where did this name came from? The name is not given by God of the Bible. The word Christianity, I'm saying, right? It is not given by Jesus. Jesus did not say, you know what, my followers, all of you, now you follow the faith of Christianity. He never said that. So Christianity is not there in the Bible. The disciples did not name the faith as Christianity. Even Paul did not name the faith as Christianity, by the way. It is not there in the Bible. The word Christianity or the word Christian, it was labeled, it was given to the Christians or the followers of Christ by idol worshippers.
Mm.
So now, you know, there are 2.2 billion Christians who say, you know what, we are Christians. But where did your name came from? God did not give that you guys are now Christians. Jesus did not say you are Christians. Paul did not say you are Christians. See, what happened was some followers of Christ, they went to the city of Antioch to preach. As they were going to the city of Antioch, they were by the gate of the city of Antioch in Turkey. Idol worshippers from inside the city, they looked at the followers of Christ and they said, here comes the Christians. So that's how the very first time the word Christians was given to the followers of Christ. So people may be thinking, okay, Sabil, what is the evidence? Are you making things up? No, the evidence is it's in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the fifth book, the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse number 26. But the word Islam, it is given by God. It is in the Quran, many, many places, like Surah 5, verse number 3, and many places. And the word Islam, it means submission to the Creator. Every prophet, they used to submit to the Creator. Mm-hmm. So a quick one sentence, my response to what George has mentioned is, see, Christianity is a faith around the person of Jesus. Islam is the faith followed by Jesus.
Say that again.
Christianity is a faith around the person of Jesus.
Revolving around Jesus.
Yes. Islam is the faith practiced by Jesus.
Yeah, because you asked, what is the faith of Jesus? What's his faith?
Submission to one God. He was a monotheistic believer. He was not a Trinitarian.
With all due respect, you can't say his faith was Christianity.
You can't say that because Christianity means it is revolving around a person, Christ, a human. Mm-hmm. But Islam revolves around the Creator, submission to the Creator. So not only Jesus, Brother Eddie, every single prophet
Moses,
they followed. Yeah, Moses
Abraham.
And Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac and David and Solomon, peace be on them. All of them, they were monotheistic believers. They submitted to one God. That means submission to one God in Arabic is Islam. So that was the faith.
I want people to not reject or shut off their mind or their natural inclination to that. We keep saying one God, worshiping one God. I want people to reflect on how many times we've said God, one, alone, to be worshipped. That's deep right there. It's not talking about worshiping Muhammad or the sun or the moon or some kind of pagan God or whatnot, just the one God. And in Aramaic, Jesus would say Allah, right? That's another thing we cover, right? He didn't say God. He would say in Aramaic, Allah, because he spoke in a Semitic language, Aramaic. And that's sister language to Arabic. He said Allah, correct?
Yeah. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, Jesus' native tongue is Aramaic language. In that language, the word for God is Allah or Ilah. So when he used to pray to God, he used to refer to God as Allah or Allah.
That's deep. That's really deep.
Our Christian friends may be thinking, Jesus prayed to God. Come on, Sabil. Are you making up things? What do you think?
26:39, right?
The first gospel of the New Testament, verse number 26, chapter 26, verse number 39. When the people were coming after him, you know, to harm him and to kill him, he went to the garden of
Gethsemane.
Yeah, Gethsemane. Yeah, over there, he prostrated himself on the ground, like Muslims do, right?
Yeah.
He prostrated himself on the ground and he sincerely said, you know, oh God, take this cup of death away from me. Not my will, but your will.
That's Islam right there. Some people say, how is Islam connected? And we had a lot of comments in there like, you know, Islam, what does it have to do? It's not mentioned in the Bible. Right here, Islam is mentioned in the Bible, if you define it. What you just said?
Submitting himself to the will of Allah.
Not my will.
But your will.
That's Islam.
Yes. That is Islam. So that's the definition of a Muslim. That's the definition. You're submitting to the Creator, not to your own shortcomings, your emotions, your culture, and your, you know, legacy. You're submitting to the Creator. That, in definition, is Islam. And Jesus was doing that.
I make this example often, and I heard that now, because they people get stuck on the word Muslim. But I'm talking about the concept. What does Muslim mean? What does Islam mean? Just like a human. Jesus didn't hear this word human, but he's a human. He's a human, if by definition. Mm-hmm. He's actually a Muslim by definition, correct?
Of course.
This is very deep. So we haven't even gotten to Ramadan. We opened up with the greeting that Jesus gave, how he fell on his face according to the Bible. how he, and we, there's a ton of verses, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. When people came to him and said, oh, good master, what good thing can I do that may have eternal life? He said, only God is good. Why are you calling me good, right? And there's
Gospel of Mark, second gospel, chapter 12, verse number 29. Mm-hmm. Just for the sake of completeness, a person came to Jesus and asked him the most fundamental question, the best question anyone can ever ask to any prophet. That what is the best commandment, the biggest, the greatest of all the commandments? And the Jewish people used to have, Brother Eddie, 613 commandments in the Old Testament. And this person, he wants to know of all of them, which one is the first, the greatest. And Jesus, peace be upon him, as a prophet of God, right? As a prophet of God, Jesus said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love him, right? Not love me, worship me. Love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then Jesus said, that is the first commandment.
That is powerful, deep. Let's get into, now before we get into Ramadan, and that was what kicked this off, was the idea that Jesus, the statement that Jesus was fasted like Muslim during Ramadan. He was a Muslim. I think we answered the last part, and we'll get in more into Ramadan. But I want to get into, before we get into the spiritual and all the other benefits of Ramadan and connecting it to Jesus and Ramadan, I want one of the other things that we also get more bang for your buck, not just the spiritual, but also you also get the health benefits. And I thought this would be interesting for the people who are into medicine, science, and all mm-hmm. the other things. So I want to get your reaction to this.
Metabolism and benefits of 30 days of fasting in Ramadan. On the first day, the blood sugar level drops and blood pressure decreases. Glycogen gets pulled from the muscles, which causes some weakness, and can also cause nausea, headaches, and dizziness. Hunger pangs can get quite intense during this time. By the third day, the digestive system gets the rest that it needs, so the body's energies get directed towards cleansing the body of toxins and healing, causing activity in the immune system to increase. After 1 week, the body's healing process is optimized, so the old injuries and inflamed areas are trying to heal in the absence of additional toxins. Despite this pain and toxin purging process in the body, you might notice that you have more energy and a clearer headspace. By this time, the body is well adjusted to fasting and it knows how to purge toxins in short period. By the third week or so, the healing work of the organs is being completed. After day 20 or so, the mind is positively impacted. As a result, greater clarity of mind and better emotional balance are experienced, and this also helps improve memory and
What is your reaction to that? Like, how would now Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, all the things that have been prohibited, like usury interest, that destroys societies, we see it was prohibited in the past also, and the rich get richer, poor get poorer, it's oppression of the weak, a different topic, but why would he prohibit that? And then the eating a pork, the tapeworms in your brain, and all the mm-hmm. other, even though how much you're trying to cook it, and all the other things of modern day technologies, it's still something that's very harmful. Alcohol.
You need to stop drinking alcohol. There is nothing beneficial about alcohol. Like this idea that they sold you on, that one glass of wine per day is good for your heart, is absolute nonsense, right? Alcohol is toxic to every part of your body, including your brain. And so when you get, have you guys ever thought about why you get tipsy and why you get drunk? Probably not, right? It's because of the negative impact alcohol is having on your brain cells.
We have a lot of conservative Christians, even Candace Owens, she was talking about how she left off alcohol and other conservative Christians, but it's not something that's there clear in the text. We have it clear in Islam. And then the concept of worshiping one God, on top of that, fasting, all of these things that Islam has ordained, it's good for humanity. How is Prophet Muhammad having the time to come together with a book that's memorized by millions, kids at a young age, and not to talk about all of his statements of prophecies and miracles that he did by his own. He did miracles. Just like Jesus did. We don't talk about that a lot. He actually did miracles. There's one in the Quran, the splitting of the moon. It's been proven. Mm-hmm. What's your reaction now? On top of this, he's talking about fasting, and now we're seeing not only the spiritual, but also these physical health benefits.
Yeah, mashallah. You know, from the medical point of view, 100%. And if you're
also a medical doctor.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, I have medical education, I have MD degree, mashallah. Yeah. So I can add one or two quick points to what that video mentioned. We have cholesterol, right? And cholesterol oftentimes is bad for the body. But there are two kinds of cholesterol. You have the HDL, which is a good cholesterol. Then you have the LDL, which is the bad cholesterol. In fasting, what happens, they have done this research many, many times, many prestigious institutions. what they found out, that in the 30 days of fasting, the bad cholesterol, it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And the good cholesterol, it goes up. That's one of the benefits. The growth hormones increases. That has so many benefits. People who have diabetes, like diabetes 2, they have better control of the blood sugar now because of fasting. So there are numerous benefits of fasting. But Brother Eddie, we just want to let our viewers know, Muslims are not fasting because of the health benefits. These are like side reward Allah has given to us. We are fasting because of the spiritual benefits, the discipline. And the biggest reason we are fasting is because it is obligatory for Muslims to fast. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell me this. So like I was saying, what do you think? I mean, for somebody now who is questioning, let's get into this last point before we conclude about Ramadan,
mm-hmm.
Jesus fasting like Muslims do for Ramadan. And then many people just don't know and they're rejecting. How would you substantiate this with evidence and proof?
Sure, sure.
Make your case.
So Muslims, we fast for about 30 days, right? 29 to 30 days. And our fasting is from dawn to sunset. All right. Total absentee, by the way. No food, no drink, no water, no, you know, physical or intimacy with your spouses. And that was the way of fasting of all the prophets of the past, including Moses and Jesus, peace be upon them. And people may be thinking again, what is the evidence? So let's start from the Old Testament, the evidence regarding Prophet Moses, he fasting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we believe that Prophet Moses received revelation, right, the Torah. So even in the Old Testament, it says in the book of Exodus, chapter 38, verse number 24, that Moses, Prophet Moses, the mighty prophet, peace be upon him, he went to the Mount Sinai, and over there, he stayed there, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, preparing himself to receive the Ten Commandments. So, and he fasted for 40 days. Now, when it comes to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, he went to the wilderness. Over there, according to the Gospel of Luke, which is the third Gospel, chapter number 4, verse number 2, it says that Jesus fasted for 40 days. And then after that, he became hungry, right? I mean, naturally, he was a man. And he was fasting before he started his ministry, his preaching of Islam to the people and to do away from the temptations. So almost every Gospel, they documented the fact that Jesus used to fast. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 2, it says exactly the same thing. Luke chapter 4, verse number 2 says that. Prophets of the past, they used to fast. So the important point is this. When Muslims, when we are fasting the way that the prophets used to fast. We don't like just give up, you know, meat or some things that we, you know, we have to give up and then we can eat the rest of the things. Our fasting is total absentee from any food, any drink, even, you know, intimacy with our spouses. You know, what happened, Brother Eddie, I went to one of the high schools in the north side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
There was an interfaith discussion, big auditorium, many students were there, high schoolers. And then I was on the stage to represent, you know, Islamic faith. Next to me was a Catholic priest and a pastor and a Hindu, you know, priest and then a Jewish person. So we were all sitting on the stage. And then when that time was done with the discussion, there were some refreshments.
Yes.
And I said to the, you know, priest next to me, you know, I'm a Muslim and this is the month of Ramadan. I cannot eat anything. You know, you guys can go and enjoy. And then he said, you know, I'm also fasting.
Who said that?
The priest who was next to me, the Catholic priest. Okay.
Yes.
So I said, okay, fine. Then I can just speak to you, you know, let other people go and eat the food. As I was just sitting down there, then I saw him, you know, getting off from his chair, and then he went straight to the table with all the refreshments, right? I was surprised when he came back with the plate of food. I said, you know, oh, my dear priest, you said you were fasting. What happened? Huh. He said, yes, I'm fasting, but I'm just fasting from meat. I can eat that. I said, come on, my dear brother, you know, you're fasting. Fasting means fasting, right?
Yes.
So people have made, unfortunately, you know, they have diluted the concept of fasting. So when we say that Jesus fasted, we are fasting or Jesus fasted the way that Muslims are fasting now.
This is the organic, true way of fasting. And because some people in the comments, people were saying, well, also Christians fast, mm-hmm. Lent, well, they'll give up something.
For 40 days.
You can give up, a Snicker bar or something that you like, that you indulge in, some sweets or
mm-hmm.
Meat or... whatever, but the real fast and the way Jesus fasted, like we do in Ramadan, is total abstaining from food and water. That's the real fasting, like Moses, Abraham, because the clear verse in the Quran where God Almighty Allah is saying, fasting is prescribed for you as it was those before you. And that's how we make that connection to others fasting, like Prophet Muhammad, who we follow, the last and final messenger, from this verse from the Quran that God Almighty Allah is telling us that the same way you guys are fasting, the previous people, they were also ordered to fast.
Yes, so that passage that you mentioned, Brother Eddie, it's important for the viewers. If you have a copy of the Quran, please open to page number, chapter number 2, verse number 183. If you don't have a copy of the Quran, we can send it to you. Call this telephone number on the screen. So it says in chapter number 2, verse number 183, Ya ayyuhal lazina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala lazina min hablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Right? Arabic. The translation is, O you who believe, fasting has been ordained for you as it was ordained for those before you, that you may receive, you know, God consciousness.
Yes.
So those people who were given fasting before us, they were the previous prophets, the previous messengers. So even from the Old Testament, New Testament, we can see that those prophets used to fast and Muslims are following those prophets also.
Actually, so there you go. There goes your answer, the evidence. So we're not just concocting things and pulling things out of the air or our minds. Jesus was a Muslim because he submitted, according to definition, he submitted his will to the Creator. That's what a Muslim is, to the one God. And he did Islam. That's in the Lord's Prayer. O our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. This is Islam, to submit your will to God. So that's how we make those connections. And he greeted like we did. He prayed. Matthew 26:39, you gave the reference. He went and fell on his face and prayed to God. That's how Muslims pray. And he did Ramadan. He did like we do. He fasted like we do during Ramadan. So the statement is correct.
I was going to do a thought experiment quickly.
Yeah, let me hear that.
All right. So imagine, so Muslims are also waiting for the second coming of Jesus. All right. Our Christian friends would be surprised. Really? You guys are waiting for Jesus? Yes, we are. But when he comes back, he's not coming back as a new prophet with a new revelation. He will come back as a Muslim the way that he was in the first coming. All right. So here is the thought experiment. Okay, imagine now Jesus descends, okay, like in Damascus, all right? So in Damascus, there are Christians too there. So in front of Jesus, when he descends, imagine if there is a big church out there and next to the church is a mosque, a masjid, and the masjid door is open and the door of the church is open and Jesus is standing in the front and he can see inside the church. He can see inside the mosque. He can see people coming in the masjid and in the church. Now he has to decide, should he go in the church or should he go in the mosque? Where would he go, right? First and foremost, when he will see Muslims going inside the mosque, Muslim males, they would have a beard. And he would know, you know what? I have a beard. All the prophets used to have a beard. These people, they look like me. I can connect with them. When he sees the Christians going inside the church, they're all clean shaved, right? So that's one way he can connect with the Muslims. Second thing is, when he see the two Muslims saying, Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, he can recall right away, you know what? That is my greeting that I used to give to my disciples. The Bible says in John chapter 20, verse number 19 and so forth. When he see the Christians meeting each other, they can have so many variations of greeting, but not universally, peace be upon you. So Jesus, when he see the Muslims, he can say, I can connect with the Muslims. When he goes inside or when he sees inside the church, he will see, you know what, this statue of Jesus on the cross and people worshiping God through a mediator. Then when he sees inside the masjid, he sees that people are worshiping without any mediator. He can then say, you know what, I instructed my followers to pray directly to God. As you mentioned, the Lord's Prayer, correct? In the Lord's Prayer, there is no mention of people should be going through the mediator. Muslims are worshiping God directly. So that itself, Jesus will say, you know what, I can connect with the mosque and with the Muslims. Then when he's going to see the Muslims actually praying, they stand up, they bow down, and then they prostrate. In the Christian church, he's going to see people jumping and dancing and rolling, right, and music and piano out there. He will say, I never preached like that.
Never.
I never prayed like that. I never taught my disciples to pray like that. But when he sees inside the masjid, people are lining, and then they're praying to one God the way that he used to worship, then they're also prostrating in the prayer. And he will recall, you know what? I used to pray exactly the same to my Creator. He will connect with the Muslims. Then imagine if it's the month of fasting. When he sees the people, they say that they're fasting like people of the church, but they were on the break time. Now they went and they are eating. All of them are eating, right? Then he will say, you know what? My fasting was never like that. Then when he sees the Muslims, they're not eating anything, not drinking anything, right? Mm-hmm. He will say, these are my people. When he used to say women going inside the masjid compared to women going inside the church, women in the church, as they go inside, they're not wearing any head covering usually. Mm-hmm. Women of the masjid, they're going inside hijab.
They're dressed like his mother. Whatever you have on Google of his mother, she's wearing the hijab. They're not going into the mosque with miniskirts.
Yeah. So then he will say, you know what? They're dressing like my mother, Mary, with the hijab, modesty, decency. He will say, you know what? These are my people. Then when he finds out, you know, Christians are not circumcised, Christian males, and then he finds out that Muslim males are circumcised, and Jesus, you will think, you know what, I was circumcised when I was young, 8 days of age, according to Matthew. He will say, these are my people.
He was circumcised also.
Yes, he was circumcised.
That's a whole other question. God being circumcised doesn't make no sense.
Different topic, right? Different topic, one day, yeah. We can do that. Yeah. But the most important thing, Brother Eddie, when he sees inside the church compared to in the masjid, he will see, you know what, people are praying to Trinity. They are taking him to be God, Son of God, when he said, I'm only a prophet. But when he sees inside the masjid, steps inside the masjid, he will say, see, they're only worshiping the one Creator. Mm-hmm. The way that Jesus, that I used to worship, he will say.
Wow.
Right? So every single way, so if in this thought experiment, he will go in the masjid. He will pray with the Muslims. He will connect with the Muslims. So any which way that we dissect, right? From the Bible, from the Quran, from history, from the life of Jesus, from his practice, from his preaching, he was a Muslim.
He couldn't even, this is a great thought experiment, and because technically, even though he was ethnically Jew, not religiously, right? Ethnically, he was Jewish, and religiously, he was one who submitted to the will of God, a Muslim, but he couldn't even go in a church. And Jews even today can't go pray in a church, but they can pray in a mosque.
Yes.
So this is also something to contemplate in that thought experiment. He could not step foot in a church.
Yeah, the way that they describe him, he cannot go in the church, correct?
He cannot.
As a quote-unquote Jewish person.
Yeah, as a quote-unquote Jewish person. But he
means
can't.
Jews cannot pray in the church because the Jews take the Christians as not non-monotheistic.
That is the godly thing to do. We respect one another.
The godly thing to do is to kill you.
The godly thing is to kill me.
That's right. Yes? That's what the Torah says.
The Torah says to kill us.
The Torah says that people who worship idols such as yourself, when there is a Sanhedrin,
to kill us.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what the Torah says.
So we know how the Jewish people feel about Christians, yes? That you discriminate against Christians.
Christians are idol worshippers.
You discriminate against Christians.
The Torah says that Christianity is idol worship.
That's another solid, a point that many don't think about. And I want to touch upon, also, he was a Palestinian Jew, is that correct?
He was a Palestinian Jew, correct? Yes.
Right?
He was a Palestinian Jew. We can say he was a Palestinian.
Yes.
He was a Palestinian, correct?
Yes.
And Palestinian Jew by ethnicity, but Muslim by faith.
By faith.
Yes.
And I think this is real important, and I want to just touch upon this. When I had a senior pastor on the program, and I asked him, why do so many Christians, and hopefully we got some Christian friends out there who are tuning in, and they see what's happening. You know, this modern-day ethnic cleansing genocide is happening against the Palestinians right now. And you have Christians who are also there, small minority in Palestine, who are also being oppressed. And he said because the propaganda was pushed in the late 1800s as a man by John Nelson Darby. I think this is very important for our Christian friends to look into it, because the first 1800 years of Christianity, this was the Zionism, Christian Zionism, because you have more Christian Zionists than you actually have Jewish Zionists. And now when they find out that this has nothing to do with Christianity, they don't have to feel guilty, because now they feel it's a part of their faith to support this. So I want to just reiterate what the pastor said, that they ended up, John Nelson Darby, he ended up collecting many of these fringe teachings from Christianity here, there, and everywhere. And then this person who had met him had hooked up with Cyrus Schofield from the Schofield Bible. Cyrus Schofield was a con man. He went and spent some time in prison. He was in jail, got out, conveniently got his DD, Doctor in Divinity. He ends up getting funded, meets up with this American Zionist Association. They take him to the Oxford Press in UK, help to fund the printing, publication, and distribution of over 1 million copies of the Cyrus Schofield Bible. Why is this significant? Because in the exegesis, the explanation of certain verses, like blessed are the ones that bless thee, cursed are the ones that curse you, he's connecting certain verses to this modern state over there who's committing this genocide right now. And now, and the second coming of Jesus, twice, Jesus rapture and all these things, the pastor said, have nothing to do with Christianity. So this is how it started. And then they pushed all these different series and books. The Lake Great Planet Earth sold 40 million copies. So this is something for our Christian friends to really think about, because now in this 4K images that are coming out, you're seeing this happening, but this has nothing to do with your faith. This is something that is totally not a part of Christianity. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's really important, you know. See, you know, for that reason, in the Quran, it says so many places, Brother Eddie, close to 750 plus times. Allah is commanding humanity, Muslims and humanity, to think and ponder, to do the research, to contemplate, right? Not just blindly believe, just because some social media, some culture, some people are saying, even if our ancestors are saying something that goes against the teachings of God, right? We need to think and ponder and not just blindly believe. So my dear Christians and the Jews and people out there, we should take every life as equal. That is the foundation. And we should make sure that we don't oppress, we don't compromise any life. May that be a Muslim life, a Jew life, or a Christian life, because according to the Quran, chapter 5, verse number 32, saving one human life, innocent life, is like saving the life of all of humanity. And taking one life is like taking the life of all of humanity. In this passage, Allah is not saying the life of a Muslim. He's saying every life is special, every life is equal, and every blood is sacred. So it's important for us, if we take that as our foundation, that means what we see out there, the genocide, ethnic cleansing of the Muslims by some people, by that state out there, inshallah, if the Christians, if they rise up, be true to their Bible,
yes,
protecting life, be on the side of people who are oppressed, just the way that we were in South Africa. If we do that, inshallah, peace will prevail. But our Christian friends who are in majority in this country, you have to stand up for justice. If you do that, inshallah, peace not only in Palestine, by the way, peace over here, whenever we stand up for justice against racism and against anti-Semitism, against Islamophobia. So that is the solution, I would say. Justice has to be done. Life has to be preserved. No life can be compromised. If we take that as our foundation, our frame of reference, inshallah, peace will prevail all over the world.
All human life is precious. I like what you just said.
Yes.
And people can go ahead and look into the Quran to read more on their own. You can go to thedeanshow.com and get that free copy of the Quran for you. They can call 1-800-662-ISLAM if they have any further questions. I want to thank you, Dr. Sabil, for spending some time with us to clarify our position on Jesus, peace be upon him, who we love and revere as one of the mightiest messengers of God. And there was no ill intent, bad intention. It was just to give you guys our perspective, what we know is the truth about Jesus, and it's up to you if you want to accept or reject, but we can still go ahead and collaborate on something to stop and speak out against what's happening now with these children and this oppression. And thank you for your time. And
sure, sir. Effort. Three quick recommendations. Yes. Read the Quran for my non-Muslim brothers, sisters out there in humanity. Secondly, meet a Muslim, a knowledgeable Muslim. If you have any questions, okay, meet a Muslim. And thirdly, we have many mosque open houses. Come to the mosque, call the masjid. Come there, meet the Muslims, see how Muslims pray, the way that Jesus used to pray. And then lastly, pray to God sincerely for God's guidance. Inshallah, God will guide you and all of us.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time. Subscribe if you haven't already so you don't miss any of these shows that come out. And we'll see you here again, inshallah. God willing, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
You heard about the mega church. There are even some mega masjids. But we want the mega center for Dawah here in the United States of America. And that mega center will be the Dean Center. All of you are familiar with the Dean Show. My dear brother Eddie introducing Islam to the people, clarifying misconceptions about Islam for the people. Now our brother Eddie and his team are establishing the Dean Center. And we want you all to support the establishment of this Dean Center. So we got the number one dean. We're fresh on the scene. Glad to be down with Brother Eddie and his team putting it down for the Dean Center. This is Imam Zay Shakir.